Would tonight take your Bibles and go with me to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter number 3. And I want to share a message with you tonight and preach from the book of Matthew chapter number 3. For years now, it's been my practice as the Lord leads to preach through passages of Scripture. And it's been a great privilege through the years to preach through many, many books, whole books of the Bible, verse by verse. I don't find it boring at all because every word and every phrase and every jot and tittle is inspired by God, and there's something there for us. And you may have not been paying attention, but I preached through chapter 1 of Matthew and chapter 2 of Matthew in the Christmas season, and we come today to Matthew chapter number 3. And we come here, and the passage of Scripture goes from a baby in the manger and wise men and the birth of the Savior to I guess the way to put it is the nitty-gritty. I mean, we're right down at it. And Jesus and John the Baptist, they get right to business in this passage of Scripture. And we'll see here together some very important things, a strong message of repentance and turning to God as we turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter number 3. The Bible says in verse number 1, "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem, and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will throughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And we come to this passage of Scripture, and John the Baptist comes on the scene. We meet him, and he is the forerunner of Christ. He was prophesied in the Old Testament that he would prepare the way of the Lord. John the Baptist comes on the scene. He preaches a peculiar message, a message that was unusual specifically to the religious leaders of this day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Pharisees and Sadducees, they presented themselves as very holy, as some type of a non-sinner, which we all know that that's not true. If we say we have no sin, we make God a liar. The truth's not in us. And these Pharisees are on the scene, and this group of people, these religious leaders have led people to a place where they think that their righteousness and holiness is wrapped up in some deeds that they do, and they act like they do on the outside. But we know inside they were filthy and dirty. And John the Baptist preaches this message, repent, turn from your wicked ways and your sin. And you know what the people did? Multitudes of people. The Bible says that Jerusalem came and all of Judea and all the area around Jordan. I can just imagine a multitude of people came out into the wilderness to hear John the Baptist preach an unfamiliar, unpopular, but very important message to all the people. You guys need to repent of your sin. You're not right with God. And God's Son is on His way. What a message. As the Bible comes to conclusion, this portion of Scripture, There's an emphasis we can see that's repeated over and over again. You see it in verse number 2. The Bible says, John the Baptist saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The kingdom of heaven is at hand. What's John want these folks to know? Hey, your life is short. And life isn't all there is. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. There is judgment that comes after life. There is reward or judgment. He repeats this theme again. God's word, verse number 10, says this, "And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." You see this picture? John the Baptist is preaching his message, this group of people. He says, "Look, guys, the axe is laid at the root of the trees." You can just imagine somebody that's getting ready to chop down a tree. He's getting one last drink of water before he chops the tree down. The axe is laying at the roots of the trees. He's going to get his drink of water and see and just double check and make sure if there's any fruit on this tree. But the axe is laying there and the job is about to take place. He says, "Look, you act spiritual, talk spiritual, but if you're not bearing fruit, you ain't spiritual. And the axe is laying at the root." The analogies continue. The Bible says in verse number 11, John the Baptist preaching, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear." How many of you have ever heard the phrase, "Those are big shoes to fill"? That's where it comes from, I'm pretty sure. "Whose shoes I am not worthy to bear." John the Baptist is looking at Jesus coming. He's like, "I can't fill those shoes." Big shoes to fill. But he says this in verse 11, "He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost." Hallelujah. That's good. When I got saved, I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. He indwelled me and he said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." The Bible says, "And he'll baptize you with fire." There's judgment. The scripture says again in verse 12, "Whose fan is in his hand." Have you ever seen a fire going and you take a fan and blow on it? If you blow it hard enough, you'll get all of it burnt out. The Bible says he will thoroughly purge his floor. There's a picture in our minds here of a threshing floor and piles of chaff, the peeling. He'll thoroughly purge his floor and gather wheat into the garner, into a hopper. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. You see the repetition of the theme? He'll burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. There's judgment. The old preacher said, "Repent or perish." And it's just as real and live and modern and popular and important as it should be today. Repent or perish. The Bible says in verse 11 that he, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. There's repentance. Verse number 10, the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Fruit bearers, do not suffer judgment. This is not a works religion. If you have Jesus in your heart, you're a true born again child of God, you'll bear fruit. But there's judgment. And this passage of scripture in verse number 2 begins with John's message, repent. Turn from your sin. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I'd like to title this message with the Lord's help, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." In light of the fact that there is a real reward and there's a real judgment and real people, all people will face it. In light of the fact the kingdom of heaven is at hand, there's some things I think that God wants us to see from this passage of Scripture. In light of the fact that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, number one, we should preach Jesus. We should preach Jesus. I want you to know something about John the Baptist. John the Baptist wasn't preaching John the Baptist. John the Baptist set the perfect example for all preachers to follow. You do not preach yourself. You do not exalt yourself. You exalt and preach a Savior crucified, coming again. He preached Jesus. And folks, I want you to know something. The hope for coming judgment, the hope for life beyond the grave, the hope for everlasting life, is going to be found one place and one way, the preaching of the cross, the preaching of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus said of himself, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In light of the fact that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, number one, we should preach Jesus. Look what the scripture says in verse number one. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. I love this verse of scripture. In those days, the Bible immediately, right out of the gate, gives us a picture of what's going on. If you'll remember those days were dark days. There had been 400 years of darkness. God hadn't spoken to his people in 400 years. And now God has decided in the process of time, at the right time, at the perfect time, to bring Jesus on the scene. And you would have known in these days, in those days, that there was a need for a Savior. Religion had taken the place of God. Man's opinion had taken the place of God's Word. In those days, these people need a Savior. I look around and I'm very optimistic. But I tell you, you don't have to look very far and understand that there are lots of people that need Jesus. Amen. And in light of the fact that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, Christian people should be faithfully preaching Jesus. In those days, the Bible says, came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. I thought it was interesting that John the Baptist, when he's going to have a great meeting, he's going to preach the house down, have a big revival, and multitudes of people. Look at this with me. It's just fascinating to me what happens here in this passage of Scripture. He's preaching the kingdom of heaven in the wilderness of Judea. He sets up and he says, all right, guys, there ain't nobody for a lot of miles, and this is a barren wilderness, no place for anybody to get something to eat. Let's set up a tent and have a meeting right here. That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? But you see what happens in this passage of Scripture? The Bible says, and I'm looking for the verse. Here it is. Where is it? There it is, verse number 5. He sets up and gets ready to preach, and the Bible says, then went out to him Jerusalem. Now, when I read this, I can't get it to say anything else but Jerusalem. As far as I can tell, the city of Jerusalem just said, hey, John the Baptist is preaching in the wilderness. We're going. It says Jerusalem. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan. Can you imagine the multitude of people that came out? Now, something that was interesting to me is that John the Baptist came preaching the message of repentance to all these people in the wilderness of Judah. Folks, I want you to know something. Preaching Jesus and repentance of sin is not the most popular or considered even the greatest method in order to change people's life. But I'll just tell you something. It's proven itself through the centuries over and over and over and over again that the preaching of the cross and preaching of Jesus and repentance of sin changes people's lives for the glory of God. It works. I'm living proof. But for the grace of God, I'd be dead or strung out or, but for the grace of God. You see, coming to Christ changed my life. And I believe you're here tonight, lots of you, most of you, is a testimony of the fact that Jesus Christ changed your life. Now, John the Baptist didn't come trying to win friends and influence people. He came preaching Jesus. And he went out in the wilderness. It didn't make a lot of sense to everybody. But God blessed and God used the preaching of Jesus. In light of the fact that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, we ought to be preaching Jesus. Even if it's in the wilderness. The Bible says in verse number 2, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What did he ask them to do? Repent. Repent. Now this is fascinating to me. For years and years and years, as a matter of fact, the whole lifetime of these people in Jerusalem and Judea, they've been hearing this message. Look like you're godly. Dress like you're godly. Attend meetings like you're godly. And then surely you'll be godly. But this multitude of people, just honest, common people, this multitude of people, they come making their way out to the wilderness. They hear John the Baptist preach an unusual message, a message they'd not heard. You see, the religion of the day was saying, you're okay. Everything's going to be perfect. And I can tell you from God's Word, all things work together for good. And we have a great hope in the Savior. But I would be a liar to tell you that you can just live any way you want to and act any way you want to and live and wallow in the cesspool of sin and expect God to bless you and expect your family to be right and your home to be right and your life to be right. I'd be lying to you, and I can't tell you that with a clear conscience. Nor could John the Baptist. And when John the Baptist had that crowd of people out in the wilderness, he stood up and he said, "Repent." He told them, "You need to turn from your wicked ways. Your hearts are wicked. You've got sin in your life. And you just need to confess it, admit it, and turn from it." You know what happened? He preached a message they weren't used to hearing. But when they were honest with themselves and God, they realized, "That's what I need. I just got to get this out in the open. I'm just covering up my sin. I'm just covering up my rottenness." When down deep inside, my heart's cold and I'm full of guilt and shame. Don't encourage people to cover up what God wants to forgive. In the book of Jeremiah, he fussed on the preachers of that day. He said, "You have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly." He says, "All you've done is you've put a band-aid on their mortal wounds. They've come together and you've tried to give them words that make them feel better." I can't think of anything worse than to know the truth that Jesus will save you and set you free and give you everlasting life. I can't think of a greater truth than that, and I can't think of a greater ill than to know that truth and to not tell people. You see, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There's a judgment coming. We should preach Christ. He preached repent. Verse number 2, the Bible says, verse number 3, "For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah." What was he preaching? He was preaching the Bible, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." What was John the Baptist preaching to these people? He was preaching, preparing the way for Jesus. He says, "Look, it's not about me. It's about Jesus." I can't even remember if there's a cross back. Yeah, there is. I forgot. I couldn't remember if there's a cross back here. Do you know that it's not the preacher's place to stand between you and God and say, "Hey, I'll fix you. Hey, I'll change you. Oh, you ought to hear me. I'm great." That's not the preacher's place. The preacher's place is like John the Baptist. And you have the opportunity, you may not preach in this pulpit, but you have the opportunity to proclaim forth the truth that Jesus saves. Your duty is not to point people to you, because you are inferior and unable, so am I. But your duty is to preach the cross. And John the Baptist, he said, "Look, I'm getting out of the way. I'm preparing the way to the Lord." He said, "Look, you need to repent of your sin. You need to turn from your wicked ways because Jesus is coming. And Jesus is what you need." Look at what the scripture says in verse number 11. He preaching, John the Baptist preaching, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear." In light of the fact that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, we should preach Jesus. He preached the Bible, he preached Jesus, and the Bible says here's what they should preach. "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." What was the emphasis? He said, "Look, we're just going to knock down the big humps, the sinful humps that keep us from getting right with God." We're preparing the way. We're going to fill in the valleys and the gulfs that separate us from the Lord. And John the Baptist said, "I'm preaching to you this. Repent of your sin because Jesus is coming and he's going to change your life." And in light of the fact that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, preach Jesus. Preach Jesus. What the Bible says in verse 4. "The same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey." What was this preacher like? This preacher wasn't somebody that had put on the garb of religion. This was a preacher who had put on the bowels and mercies of God and the message of God's word. And he stood before a congregation of people and he preached, "Repent of your sin and come to faith in Christ, because the kingdom of heaven is coming. Judgment is coming. Repent or perish." Folks, I want you to know something. There's real people going up and down Highway 11 right now tonight. If they don't get saved, they don't ask Jesus to come in their heart, they don't do business with God, get forgives their sins, they'll leave this world and face a Christless hell. May God give us a burden. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. We should preach Jesus. Number two, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We should repent of sin. There's two groups of people we conclude this passage of Scripture with. One is this mass multitude of people who hear the preaching and say, aha, that's what I need. I am rotten. I do need to let folks know. And I need to tell God I'm sorry. And there's another group of people, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who tried to hide under the cloak of religion. You see, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, so we should repent of our sin. If you're here tonight and you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, you may attend church, you may come to Sunday school, you may even teach Sunday school. But there's never been a time in your life where you repented of your sins, confessed your need of a Savior, and turned to the Lord. You need to be born again. Repent of sin. Here's what happened to these folks. They heard this message, verse number 5. All these folks came to him from Jerusalem, Judea, Jordan. In verse number 6, the Bible says, and they were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. You know, baptism is public. Baptism is public. You know, we want to do things all for ourselves. That way, if it doesn't work out, there's no accountability. But baptism's public. New Testament baptism, after you've been saved by the grace of God, not John the Baptist's baptism, but baptism is a picture of what Christ is in. We publicly identify with Jesus, His death, His cross, His death, His burial, His resurrection. But these folks, they were confessing their sins and John was baptizing them. They were letting folks know, hey, look, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. And they were confessing their sins. If you've not publicly confessed your need of a Savior, the Bible says the redeemed of the Lord say so. If you've not let people know, I'm saved and I know I am, you need to. See, the kingdom of heaven is coming. We should preach Jesus. We should repent of sin. Thirdly and finally, we should forsake self-righteous religion. Look what the Bible says in verse number 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said to them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? You'd think that the preacher's out there baptizing people, when the other preachers from town come up, he's going to be like, hey guys, how's it going? When the Pharisees and Sadducees come and see John the Baptist looks at him and says, you generation of vipers, you're like snakes in the grass. You're laying around there looking for who you can poison, who you can take advantage of. He says, you generation of vipers, he says, you're not producing fruit. Your religion is not producing fruit. Your religion is producing slaves. And I want you to know something. There are Baptist churches that are producing slaves because they're not preaching the gospel, not pointing people to Jesus. They're pointing them to religious works. And it's a shame. The Pharisees and Sadducees, I want you to see these two people. The Pharisees, they were this group of people. They were religious zealots. They were the hardline, hardcore fundamentalists. And I'm fundamental. I believe in the fundamentals of the Bible. But these are the folks who identified themselves, we're holding the line. But they weren't holding the line. They were adding to the line. They were building monstrous walls of religion that people could not possibly attain to. And they were presenting themselves as some type of holier than thou knuckleheads. I think the Bible says that, right? Knuckleheads? The Pharisees, they were staunch. They dressed the part. They talked the part. But when Jesus looked at the Pharisees, he says, you are like whited sepulchers. He says, you've painted yourself beautiful and white on the outside, but inside of you, your heart is full of dead man's bones. You're rotten. The Pharisees. The other side was the Sadducees. The Sadducees, they were the guys that had on skinny jeans, and they were standing before the congregation. Hey, man, what's up? We're all cool. Everybody's all right. The Sadducees, they were liberal. They didn't believe in the miracles. They didn't believe in the authority of the scriptures. But they were having meetings and they were telling people everything's going to be good. You had the far extremes, the Sadducees and the Pharisees. They couldn't agree on anything. Oh, wait, they could. They could agree on one thing. Jesus is going to mess up our religion. Jesus is going to mess up our religion. And folks, I want you to know something. If you get threatened by Jesus, your religion is sending you to hell. If you get threatened by Jesus, your works and the things you think are more important than Jesus are the things that are keeping you from being a blessing and being used of God. And folks, in a moment, I could preach about 3 more hours, but I won't. I want you to know something. May God keep us from being the Pharisees. And may God keep us from being the Sadducees. And may God keep us right in line, trusting in Jesus and Jesus Christ alone and using God's Word as our authority. Because it's God's Word and the preaching of Jesus that changes lives. So I want you to know something. The axe is laid at the root of the tree. Jesus Christ is going to gather the wheat and judge the chaff. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And churches like ours, people like you need to preach Jesus, repent of sin, and forsake your self-righteous religion for Jesus. One quick story. I had a lady. I'd not been the pastor at Boiling Springs Baptist Church very long. And I noticed she was missing. I called her. I said, "Hey, I've been missing you." I said, "Is there anything wrong?" She said, "Do you want to know the truth?" I said, "Oh, no." I said, "Well, yes, I do." She said, "Well, when you came to be our pastor, we thought you were going to be a good pastor. Your wife's wonderful. We thought you were going to be a good pastor." I said, well, what did I do wrong? I'd like to know. Maybe you can help me. She said, "Well, the last few weeks you've not even greeted us." What I wanted to say was, "Well, if you weren't the last person on the back row, first person to leave, last person to get here." But I didn't, and I'm glad I didn't, because that would have been wrong. I was in my flesh. I said, "I'm really sorry about that." I said, "I'm going to try to do better. And I'll put myself in a place where I can see more people. I'm trying really hard. I wish you'd give me another chance." They came back to church. This lady had been a Sunday school teacher for many, many years. She had been attending Boiling Springs Baptist Church longer than I'd been alive. In about 3 weeks, in the middle of the week, she called me crying. I said, "Hey, what's going on?" She said, "Well, I've been hearing the preaching, and God's made it plain to me I'm not saved. I've never accepted Christ by faith as my Savior. And I want help." I said, "I'm on my way to see." She said, "Don't leave. I'm coming. I'm almost to your office." She came to my office. We had a sweet time. I led her to Jesus. She confessed her sins, repented, turned from her wicked ways, accepted Christ by faith as her Savior. God used her in a mighty way and still uses her. I use that story with permission. Folks, I want you to know something. Religion is never a substitute for faith in Christ. Amen. And may we never be guilty. You see, this world needs Jesus. Chilhowie needs Jesus. They don't need our pomp and circumstance. They need our Savior. Amen. And may we faithfully point them that direction with God's help and by His grace. Amen. Let's pray.